kill the flesh. Amen? And we've been going over steps to be killing sin. Steps to be killing sin. And we'll get to that in a moment. Right now, let's go over our foundation text. Today, we're going to go over a few of them in the name of Jesus. Let's first turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning with the fifth verse. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning with the fifth verse. Verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. And just throw a hand up and down when you grab it. And I'll know to, I can move on with it. All right. All right, thank you. Reading out of the NASB. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Now, the literal Greek, I don't know why the NASB chose to do that, but the literal Greek is by a once for all act and at once put to death the members which are upon the earth. That's what it is in literal Greek. It's aorist tense. By a once for all act and at once put to death the members which are upon the earth. That's how that should read. So it's a command. It's aorist active imperative. Aorist means a once for all act done at once. Active is what? You doing it. Yeah, you do it. Passive is action being done to you. Active is you're doing the action. Alright? And then imperative means what?
Command.
Yeah. So this is a command. Put to death once and for all the members of your body which are upon the earth. So when you do that, then they won't react to immorality. They, meaning the members of your earthly body. Impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. I'm going to put them to death. That's why we have the be killing sin. Look at Romans chapter 6. Another opening. Romans chapter 6. Verse 12, Romans chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. He is a mighty God, amen?
Amen.
A faithful, able God. Thank you, Jesus. He has the right to command us to do whatever he wants us to do, amen? Because whatever he commands us to do is for our good in time and for his glory in eternity. So it's all good. Hallelujah. What a father. What a savior. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but instead, contrasting conjunction, present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. Why does it keep talking about the members and the body? Because sin expresses itself through the body, through the instruments of your body. With our mouth, we bless God and curse men. With our hands, we kill or do sign language that we shouldn't be giving. I'm going to let that just stay right there. Amen. With our ears, we hear things we shouldn't hear. With our eyes, we see things we should not see or give off looks that we ought not. You see what I'm saying? Body parts or how we express our sin. That's why Apostle Paul said, I have to buffet and beat and bruise my body and make it my slave. There's truly a difference between our bodies and us, the real us. You are not your body. That needs to be repeated. You, the regenerated, born again, you are not your body. That's just the outer man. The inner man is you. That's being renewed day by day. That's growing stronger while this body is getting weaker. Amen. That's good news.
Yes, it is.
That's why Apostle Paul makes it crystal clear right quick. He says, it's no more I that is sinning. It's not me, because that's the real me. I'm not sinning, but it's my flesh, but sin that dwells in me. And then he clarifies the next verse. In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. We understand that? Okay. All right. So that's what we need to do. We need to recognize, and everything starts, that's why I went to Colossians first. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death what is earthly in you. Put it to death, meaning kill, deprive it of its power. Well, when you do that, then Romans 6:12 and 13 falls right in line. Then you won't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. You will not let it reign. Why? Because you're working on killing sin. Constantly, consistently, and continuously. Be killing sin, or sin will be what?
Killing you.
There is no middle ground. No middle ground. They got another opening. Slide over two chapters over. Romans chapter 8. These are all foundational opening scriptures. Again, we're teaching on the subject of killing sin, be killing sin, dealing with remaining sins in our flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. We'll explain that a little later. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death constantly, consistently, and continuously the deeds of the body, you will live. How do we kill sin? By the Spirit. Through the Spirit. In the Spirit. What does that mean? The power, the might, the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. We can't do it on our own. We have to use the resident power that resides in us. Isn't that good news? You don't have to go and try to find some power. This power, you have to plug it in because the battery's done died. It's bad English, but they done died. No, none of that. The Holy Ghost is right there. Greater, stronger, mightier, wiser is he that is where?
In you.
Say it again.
In you.
Say it again.
In you.
We got about four people that believe it. Where is he?
In you.
In you. Thank you. Yes. He's in me. Right now, greater is he that is in you right now than he that is in the world. That's good news.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Whatever problems you're facing, whatever problems I'm facing, whatever problems we're facing, we can win. We have the power to overcome those problems. Mm-hmm. Mainly sinning. Galatians chapter 5, our last opening. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice fruit is singular. Love is that fruit. All the rest, as most theologians or some of us teach, are the results of love. If you are walking in love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, there's kind. Look at the patience and kindness. Remember, love is patient, love is kind. Yeah, this is what love is: joy, peace, patient, kind, goodness, faithful, gentle, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, look at this, have, past tense, crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Hey, listen, when we were born again, we no longer were slaves to sin. But sin still resides where? In our flesh. I know this rerun. It's on purpose. You just said that 2 minutes ago. Yep, saying it again 2 minutes later. It's in our flesh. And we have to deal with it. We have to be killing sin. And the reason it's killing, because you're going to always be in the process of killing sin. Amen? Because even if you kill that sin, you haven't killed all the sin. We don't believe in absolute sanctification, not while you're here on the earth. Now, there's some who believe that. You are sanctified and will not sin anymore. I didn't realize that people believe that. Certain sects of the Wesleyan denomination, I guess, or religion, a way of thinking, they believe that. No, we won't achieve perfection while we're here on earth. But certainly that's our direction. Amen? And so we must be killing sin. So we're going over steps to be killing sin. One, abstain from fleshly lusts. Two, don't provide the flesh anything to feed on. Three, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that. Four, watch and pray is where we stopped last time. Watch means to remain awake because of the need to continue to be alert. Are we not always to be alert? There's something, someone lurking around the corner. Always. Always. You think about that. If you really heard that, then you recognize, I see why I can never take days off. If there's something or someone always lurking around the corner, yeah, that says it in itself. Who's on the prowl as a roaring lion? Satan. And what is he? Our enemy, our adversary, our opponent. He is opposed to us. He's because he's opposed to God. And if you represent God and you're for God and you're born again of God, then he's against you. Amen. He's not to be toyed with or taken lightly. And I was in charismatic for years and years. You can't command the devil to do nothing. You don't have that kind of power. Jesus could. He didn't transfer his power to us. He didn't tell us, be sober, be vigilant, be alert, because your enemy, the devil, is on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resists by rebuking him. Doesn't say that. Whom resists by speaking to him. Whom resists by commanding him to desist and cease in your maneuvers. That's not in there. Whom resists standing firm in faith. That's what it says. It says that. Remember my Sister Orlando would come up here and almost break the podium when we were at I remember one particular time at St. Clement's. Boy, she hit that podium. Ah, it says it right here in the Bible. How dare they teach us this for years and years and years and years and years and years. And it's plainly stated. Whom resists? 1 Peter 5:8, the devil's on the prowl. Seeking who may devour, verse 9, whom resists firm in faith. That's how you do it. You continue to trust God. Trust his word. Stand on his promises. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I see. My hope is in his promises. My hope is in his word. That's how you resist the devil. Even Jesus, when he was in direct confrontation with Satan, we'll get to that a little later, but he did not command him to go anywhere. He used the word. And that's not, when he was directly in a fight with Satan, he didn't command him to go anywhere. He left us an example of how to fight Satan with the word of God. Three words. It is written, followed by the verse.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
That's how you fight. That's how you win. Not by commanding, not by demanding. And he hopes that that's where you go, is to command and demand.
Right.
He loves that, because that's not backed by scripture. You have no power in that. It's not commanded in any part of the word of God. So he just loves that. He's like, yeah, keep on demanding while he's walking straight through your whole situation and tearing it all up. While you steadily command and demand and binding the devil. I bind you. See, that sounds powerful. I bind you. Hey, whoa. Hey, that's an evangelist right there. And nothing changes. And how many disgruntled Pentecostals and apostolics where we grew up in for years and years are disillusioned, wondering why this is not working? We need to read scripture, stick with the word of God. Amen. The plain revealed truth.
Amen.
We got to put on armor and stand firm in our faith.
Amen.
And what powers all the batteries, all of that is obedience. So we got to watch and pray. Watch again means to remain alert because of the need to continue to be alert. Watch means to give strict attention. Watch means to be cautious. Watch means to be careful. Watch means to be spiritually alert. Why? Because something or someone and or someone is always lurking around the corner. How many struggle even going to sleep because you've got crazy things going on in your mind? Can't even go to sleep good. And sometimes even in your sleep, you're having all kind of crazy nightmares and dreams and fears and sweats and night terrors and all kind of stuff going on. We have an enemy. Watch. Want to be killed, sin? Continue to watch. But also pray. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Spirit is willing because that's the real you. But the flesh is weak. So what you need to do, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray. Prayer or pray means to be in constant, consistent, and continuous, very good, communication with God at all times. Say it again. Amen, Glenda Jean. That's true, amen? Because something or something is always lurking.
Always.
Always. Amen. Amen. Let the church say always.
Always.
Oh, y'all say that out loud. Y'all didn't hesitate on that one. You know it. Prayer. To be in constant, consistent, and continual communication with God at all times. This can be done one of three ways. One, us communicating with God. That's one way of prayer. And that's the one that people think that's all that prayer is. Us talking to God. Two is God talking to us. Yes. So there's community. And it's something. I remember Kenneth Copeland. I don't quote him much, but it was so enough true. We go before the throne of God and we do all the talking. He got all the answers. He has all the wisdom. And we're doing all the talking. Let the request be made known. Then shut up. And let the gentleman do his thing. So two, it is God communicating with us. That's prayer too. But here's a third one that few know about, I think. Three, it is to be in an ever ready position to hear from God and or talk to God at a moment's notice. So maybe there's nothing going on. Maybe God is not, as far as we can understand or reckon, that God is not necessarily at the moment speaking to us. We may not be at the moment speaking to him, but we're ready to hear from him or ready to talk to him. Amen. All the time. And that'll, being in a conscious state of prayer, one of those three ways, us talking to God, God talking to us, or being ready to talk to God or hear from God, consistently will help us watch. Yeah. That'll keep us disciplined. That will keep us alert. That'll keep us cautious, careful, spiritually alert. Because we know that God is right there, ever present. Does that make sense? Yeah. Talking to God, God talking to us, us being ready to talk to God, or being ready to hear from God. And if you stay in that moment, notice that, oh, the ambulance going by, oh, he drunk on the side. You just start praying. So you start talking to God. Start praying for that. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their situation. As a rescue blows by you, you pull out the way that pray, Lord, whatever going on there, touch all that. Fix that. According to you, may you be glorified. Just always talking. Listen out, ready to talk to him. Watch and pray. You do that, you'll see you'll be in a state to be killing sin. Did we talk about praying with confidence? No. Well, let's start there. Let's go back. Let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22. Let's go there. Luke 22. Verse 40. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Luke 22, verse 40. Thank you, my Father. Verse 40, Luke 22. And when Jesus was at the place, they were going to a certain place, and when he arrived at his destination, Jesus said unto his disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. See that same thing. Pray. And by the way, that verb is present tense. Present, active, imperative. Present means ongoing. Always happening. Right? It's always happening. Remember, and the way to cue that is to trigger what present means is it's always now. If something is present, it's not in the past, it's not in the future, it's present. So if always present and it's always present and never was, but always present right now, that means it has to be ongoing for it to always be present.
Amen.
Anyone understand that?
Absolutely.
Yep. Amen. That is crucial. That's why tenses mean a lot. So then, if we are present, active, and imperative concerning being led of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, which we're supposed to be, that means you're always being led because you're present. You're present. You're being led moment by moment by moment by moment. But we're to pray that way. So when he says here, pray and keep on continuously praying that you're not in temptation. Now that phrase means, because it makes it sound like that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you never are tempted. If you just kind of casually reach that. That does not mean that. Pray that you enter not into temptation. That's not what that means. It means that the temptation, pray that when you are tempted, that the temptation will not overwhelm you and cause you to sin. Does that make sense? Word of life? Yeah, that's what you're praying. Because temptations are going to come. I like how someone put here. This is another translation here. Pray that you will not enter into the place where testing will be so severe that it will lead to solicitation to do evil under which you will fail. So pray that that doesn't happen. Because you don't want the temptation to overwhelm you that you give in to it and sin. You follow that? That's what you're praying. Lord, I see this temptation. Him, her, it, money, this, whatever it is. Anger, don't want to walk in love, whatever. All of it. Boy, we're tempted from all kind of. Oh, my Lord. The songs have temptations, hidden snares, often take us unaware. And our hearts are made to believe from a thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test. But when we try to do our best, we will understand it better by and by. We will understand it better by and by. We don't wonder why the test, though, because we understand that we deserve anything that comes to us, and that God is sovereign, and that he is in control, and he's given us the key. Pray, right? He uses temptations to sanctify us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He uses it. And he will not allow a temptation, whether it's a temptation to do evil from Satan, which God allows, or test like Abraham to kill his only son for the glory of God. Whatever it is, all of it is designed to sanctify us. And that right there, that statement right there, we're not preaching that nowadays. No, nope, you're going to lose the church and people are going to empty out. No, you got to give who God really is. That's why we don't know who God is. We're so busy trying to make God, keep him palatable. Make him seem so nice to the point that we have a caricature, a cartoonish, buffoonish character of who God is, and nowhere near the God of the Bible. When you say that God is sovereign and he will allow a whole church at Corinth to be torn up just to keep Paul from being proud. That's deep. That's deep. God brought that church. Let me scramble your mind. God brought the church of Corinth into existence. He then placed Paul into that church. Paul worked 2 years pouring his life into that church. Do you hear me? God started the church, sent the apostle Paul. And then God turned around and allowed false teachers to come in, sway the congregation against Paul and in favor of them, and tore that church up. And the Lord God said he allowed it to keep Paul from exalting himself. I gotta tell you that he's sovereign. He does what he wants whenever he wants to, because he knows what's going on way better than us. Oh, that ain't proper English, but who cares? You understand what I said? Right. Way better than us. We can't sit on jump, but I ain't fair. I would have done it. You right, you wouldn't have done it like that. Because you're not God. Like the psalm says, you know, you are God and I am not. And when you get funky with it, he may call you out like he did Job. Who is this that darkens my presence with counsel? That is foolish. Stand up and be a man. Where were you when I did all these things? Yeah, you were nowhere. Because I'm God and you're not. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. That's why I wouldn't have done it that way. You're right. Because my ways are different from your ways. What we must do is bow down to the sovereignty of God. I guarantee you, it will not make sense. We're not through with things not making sense. Trust and believe. I've been hearing that. Why with this and why since I was 9 years old? Why you say 9 years old? Because when my dad died. They came to my mother. Mr. Harris, a good man. Why would he die and some of these old alcoholics still living? 9 years old. Why'd a gun have to go off for my little 3-year-old? Why have to be in the wrong place at the wrong time? Why my dad and not that dude? Either we're going to bow to the sovereignty of God or we're not. That's why it's not taught a lot. We never heard nothing much about sovereignty of God in apostolic or at the Word of Faith. Neither one of those. You heard a little mention about it over at Word of Faith, but nothing. They're too busy trying to tell you, name it and claim it, that you got this power. They're so busy pumping you up. And God is just kind of like almost a cosmic genie that we get the command to do whatever we want to do. Do this for me. So when one of the pastor's wives was shot and killed while sitting by the side of her pool, listening to worship music, it just threw me for a loop. Nothing computed. I was terribly frightened because I hadn't had the proper knowledge. He is God and we are not. His ways are not our ways. Because my way, I would have never used evil. I would have never even allowed it into the world to do it. But he did. He allowed evil here. And he has used evil for his glory. It was through the most evil act ever, most wicked act ever, that we got saved. Yes, sir. Am I right, Sister Orlando? Period. He, while we were enemies, he died. That don't make sense either. Why would you die for enemies? See, we want to get mad at the negative, but look at all the other part that this is head scratching too. Like, why you save me? Why me? I thank God that right here is where I've learned at this ministry who God is, the real God of the Bible, and that there are other lowercase G-O-Ds out there that are being mistaken for the capital G. And that's not him at all. Watch and pray? Yeah. Look who you're praying to. Your Heavenly Father, who is he? The God of the Bible. The God of the universe. The almighty, everlasting, eternal God. That's who you're praying to. That's who you have the right to pray to. That's the one who said to us, come boldly. In fact, let's turn over there now. We said many moons ago about praying with confidence. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Let you read it yourself. This God of the universe is telling us to come boldly. Come boldly? You, the holy God, a pure God, is having us to come boldly. Why can we come boldly? Quiz right quick. Why? Can we come boldly into his presence? Say what? We've been made righteous. We have been imputed with Jesus' righteousness. And, got my hand in there, and our sin was removed from us and laid on him, Jesus. Folks is awake tonight. Praise God. That's right, Chris. Jesus. He took our sins that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now look at Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore, as a result of that, come boldly with confidence unto the throne of grace instead of the throne of wrath, comma, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Notice the terms are interchangeable. They're not, as people say, just crystal clear, withholding one. They're all grace is mercy, mercy is grace. May obtain mercy and find grace to help when? In time of need. Has he ever let you down when you need, I don't care. I didn't say was he on time, meaning on your time. Come on, somebody. Remember, when we say he was late, that's according to your time. But it wasn't due time. Due time is the right time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is always right on time because he's never late. He can't be. Because God knows exactly what he's doing. It's my pastor friend, Rodney Pierce, said he's God and he's pretty good at it. Yeah, let him be God. For the Lord, he is God. Lord, help us to get a hold of that. That you're not a cartoon character.
Yes, sir.
We serve the God of the Bible. Yes. In Jesus' name, creator of heaven and earth. Yes. The judge of all the earth. Yeah, we got questions. We don't understand some things, but we won't. But the key thing is, faith is in the unanswered questions. Will you maintain faith and trust in God when you don't understand what's going on? That is a test of your faith. I don't get it. I don't understand. But the Lord, he still is God. He's still my Father. He don't make mistakes. He's the only wise God. I'm going to let him be God. I'm just going to trust him. I don't understand it. I may never understand it. Job never found out what was going on. I use that as my comfort when I don't get it. And I'm not getting an answer. I said, well, you never told Job. You don't owe me an answer. You don't owe me anything.
That's right.
You are sovereign, and I am not. Yes. You are king, and I'm a subject. You are master, and I'm your slave.
Amen.
Either we're going to talk it. I mean, either we're going to really walk that out and live it, or we're just going to talk it because it sounds good. You talk that among reformed circles, you sound great. But the bottom line is, are you living it out? So we must pray with confidence. Why? He said, come boldly. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 15. Let me get ready to close. He go this last time. Let me hear it again. Let me hear it last time. Psalm 34. Verse 15. When you get it, throw a hand up and down. Just up and down. I can see. Okay. All right. Psalm 34, 15. All right. All right. Thank you. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Is that not you? Is that not me? Is that not us? The eyes of the Lord are toward the right. Meaning, he's always looking out over you all the time. He's always watching.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, help us to really get these promises, these facts. See the facts. He's always watching over us. They're toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So cry out.
Yeah.
I cried out to the Lord this morning over situations. Lord, please help me. Woo, you hear the faintest cry. That wasn't a faint, that was a loud cry. Help me.
Amen.
I need you. I can't do it on my own.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Cry out to him. He's your Father. Sister Orlando, the Lord spoke to her on Sunday. Abba, a term of endearment. You are daddy. You're my Father, you're my shepherd. My shepherd. My, make it personal.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
He's your Father. He's my. We all ought to feel like, listen to a song by Lauren Daigle. You know, you make me feel like you're the only one. You love me, the only one who loves you. You make me feel like I'm the only one that you love.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to feel that way. You love me better than everybody else. It's impossible, but you ought to feel that way because you ought to feel that loved.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to feel that loved. Mm-hmm. Know that you are loved. Forget the feeling. Know for a fact that you are that loved because mm-hmm. he died for you.
Thank you, Lord.
He shed his blood for you.
Hallelujah.
There should be no doubt
thank you, Lord.
That he loves you.
Hallelujah.
No doubt that he loves me. No doubt that he loves us. He shed his blood. He paid the ultimate price. There was nothing else for him to do to prove his love to us. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. And I call you all my friend, he said. Yes. We're no longer enemies.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. His eyes are open all the time. Ears are open. His eyes are over the righteous. Ears are open. And it's that E.F. Hutton incline bending forward to hear that cry. Last one, Luke 18. Wow, we stopped at the same exact place. Praise God, he know what we need. Luke 18. Am I right, Jay? Luke 18, verse 1. We ought to pray, right? We ought to pray consistently. We ought to pray with boldness, with confidence. Why can we pray with confidence? Because he says he, because of a personal invitation. What is that? Come boldly to the throne. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? God, the pure, holy God, our Father, is inviting us, commanding us, actually. Come bold, come and come boldly. Come on and come in here bold. Don't come here. Don't come up here shaking. Look, Lord God, I just. Well, he said, come boldly. Now, it's cool to come humbly as we know how. I understand that. But sometimes that's just performance. That's just the deacon praying over the funeral. Lord God, we come humbly as we know how. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need. He says his eyes are of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears are open to our cry. That's why we can come boldly. That's why we can pray with confidence. Lastly, we need to pray with perseverance and persistence. Verse 1, Luke 18, 1. Now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart or slack off. Listen to this comment from the expositor's Greek. The comment is, to pray persistently, right? He's commanding us, listen, Jesus is commanding us to pray persistently in spite of temptation to cease praying through delayed answer. When the answer ain't coming quick as you think it ought to, we're tempted to stop praying. Sure. It means to pray persistently in spite of the temptation to cease to pray through delayed answer. To pray persistently in spite of temptation to cease praying through delayed answer. That is a big temptation. How long have you been praying for your cousin, your sons, your daughters, your aunties and uncles and nephews and mothers and fathers and look like they're getting worse? See, that's a temptation to stop. And the Lord is saying, nope, you always keep on praying.
That's right.
Don't let delayed answer. You're going to be tempted. He's already letting us know. Delayed answer is a temptation. It's going to be a temptation for you to stop praying. I'm telling you, keep praying. I love the word, notwithstanding delay. In other words, keep praying in spite of or despite delay. Keep praying in spite of the delay or despite delay. Keep praying. Write it down. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. 17. Pray without ceasing. Always be in the habit of praying. And now remember those three ways. You talking to God. God talking with us. Or being ready to talk to God, or being ready to hear from God. And everything give thanks. Father God, in heaven above, you are our heavenly Father. Abba, you are. You are the God of the Bible. That's our heavenly Father. Thank you for revealing yourself to us and then filling us with the Holy Ghost to teach us just what you are revealing to us about you. so that we can truthfully know who you are. Jesus said, and this is eternal life, John 17, 2 or 3, and this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and your Son, Jesus, whom you sent. We can know you. That's eternal life, to know you. This is how we know that we know you, because we keep his commandments. So you, obedience leads to deeper knowledge and understanding of who you are. Saints of God, I pray that we get busy obeying even more. Amen. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.